Tommy Timon.
He is a proud member
of the pod.
Stop screwing it up.
Of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Bitch?
Bitch. Welcome to episode 125 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining us, Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levesey, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's the end of an old universe and a beginning of a new for the DCU as we go into Flashpoint number 5 and Justice League number 1. Is it the start of something new or the start of something bad? Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levesey, and welcome to episode 125 of Comic Timing. I am joined by a man who is recording an episode in a foreign land, the land of France, filled of wine and cheese and bread and Brent.
Oui, oui.
Man, you're just going to become a remote reporter, aren't you?
Yeah. Actually, none of them talk like that. They all have pretty high voices.
Well, that's good. Okay, yeah, so I'm glad to see that every single stereotype was wrong.
Or at least I haven't met an old French guy that, you know, is dying from lung cancer.
But
I may well. I'll let you know.
I thought they eat cigarettes for breakfast over there.
I mean, some people do, but not as much as I guess people think.
All right. Okay, that works. That works. Well, hey, congratulations on 125 episodes of Comic Timing that you have all been on.
I have not been on 125. I've been on, like, 100, no, less than 100.
You've probably been on about 90 of them.
Yeah.
Something like that. Close to
Congratulations to you for being on 125 episodes.
Shit, I was on 125.
I don't know what that is a year. I don't know
either, because we're not very good on the whole, you know, regular release thing anyway.
But when we do release, they're quality and funny.
Oh, of course. Of course, certainly. Because if they weren't, then we would have stopped, like, 3 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, since this episode will actually be released within like a week or two after it being recorded, I guarantee you.
You don't have a job.
I know. This episode is sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, DCBService.com. There are no Review Corner picks this month, but that's for a good reason, because I actually just wanted to spotlight DCBS in and of itself this month. So make sure to check out the site. As they've added something kind of important here that I wanted to bring up. Officially, as of this month, DCBS and Comixology have formed a partnership. So that's pretty damn cool. You can now purchase Comixology comics via the new button at the top left of the DCBS homepage. And you can basically just purchase anything there and... you know, give DCBS a little bit of a kickback, and you'll be getting a kickback as well, as you will get 5% off on your next DCBS order if you purchase something from Comixology. So that's even more of a savings than you would be getting from DCBS otherwise. Somehow I have a feeling Mr. Brent Cassina is going to use this at least once or twice.
Yes, I think so. That's a smart business move for them.
It is, man. No, it is. And they're not the only ones, too. I've been seeing a bunch of comic shops also partnering up with Comixology. So I think it's a mutual business move that works pretty well for both sides in the end. Because, you know, you want to save some money on your comics and in one way or another. So how about saving them in both ways? And my Digital Comics also happens to have added the Image/Shadowline books to their site in PDF and CBZ format and page flip formats for only $1.99 a piece. So if you're interested in any of the Shadowline books, that includes Morning Glories, Bomb Queen, 27, Green Wake, and a bunch of others, then you may do so at mydigitalcomics.com, which is a DCBS site. And, yet again, a 50% off discount if you purchase all 52 of the 52 DC books this month for number 3 issues of the new 52.
And,
wow. Yeah, and individual comics will be 42% off. So that's pretty damn cool. Yeah, so check it out, DCBService.com. Make sure to use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with DCBS if you have not used them before, and check out In Stock Trades as well as they have a sale going this month. So that'll be pretty damn cool. So DCBService.com, we love them, and they love us. It's a happy family. Okay, so now that we get that out of the way, the DC Universe going through some changes. Going through some major changes. Well, for one thing, the entire universe changed for a few months with Flashpoint. So now that's all said and done. Well, you know what? Actually, hold on. Before we start talking Flashpoint, actually, let's talk new DCU in general. Because I almost forgot that we were going to talk about this. So you put up an editorial on the site after picking up Justice League and Flashpoint at your local comic shop, and the editorial got a little bit misconstrued from in the comments that have been left on the blog since then. So you want to clear things up a little bit?
Sure. Well, for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, go on comictiming.net at your next earliest convenience and just scroll past this episode to the last post, and it should be an editorial from me just basically about the lack of advertising I saw in comic shops. Now, a little bit of a disclaimer. Yes, I do get my comics from DCBS. I did order all the 52 number ones from DCBS at 50% off. It was just a deal I couldn't pass up. I wanted to try them all.
Right.
And we do support them. And frankly, the reason I go to them is because it has truly gotten overly expensive to buy things on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. Especially with, you know, getting a new apartment, buying a car, getting married, you know, all these things add up, as all of you know. And I didn't want to cut back my comic habit, so I found a different and, for me, a better way. Mm-hmm. And I do have an outlet to talk comics and stuff that some people may not have because I am, you know, a podcaster and participate in forums and Facebook with other, you know, comic nerds that I've met through the forums and podcasts and stuff like that. So, okay. You know, the shop for me has never been a place that I go to talk comics. Mm-hmm. The last time I've gone to any shop and talked comics was, you know, when I lived in Gainesville, and the owner guy, Bill, was in like an old, you know, 60s hippie or whatever, really nice guy, super nice guy. And that was, you know, before I got on DCBS. And the only reason I got on DCBS was because he was actually leaving that shop.
Okay.
And he was my link to that shop. But they were still continuing, but I went in there for a couple weeks with the new guy, and it was, you know, it wasn't the same. So
didn't have the same rapport.
That's why I left.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But basically what I wanted to talk about in that editorial was I went to on last Wednesday, on August 31st, I went to the closest and most convenient comic shop to get to from my work, which, you know, is taking an expressway and stuff. And I went to this shop, Coliseum of Comics. Since we call them out in the article, might as well call them out now, in the Fashion Square Mall, Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. A good shop. A right. Great shop. You mm-hmm. know, they have a fantastic, like, March Madness special. When basketball season is on, and they do a different special every day, and they give you a calendar, and you can get like 2-for-1 deals, or, you know, all these different pack issue books and mm-hmm. great deals. And that's their one, I guess, instead of having different sales throughout the year, they have that one big sale.
Right.
You know, but this shop is located in a mall, you know, in the mall in downtown Orlando. You know, granted, it's going downhill, as probably most malls are, but there's still a lot of foot traffic through there. Secondly, to say, it's in the food court. So if anybody's getting anything to eat, they go into Coliseum of Comics and walking past that shop and the movie theater, which right. is directly across from them.
I could even see that in the photo you took on the website. I see like a table and chairs, and then right outside is Coliseum of Comics.
And I was thinking of that editorial and, you know, really confused and upset. So that's why I made sure that you could see some tables and chairs to prove I wasn't like lying. But basically the editorial is about, you know, how there is nothing outside to let people outside the comics world, you know, comics fandom or in general, know that there's anything worthwhile going on in that store. Mm-hmm. You know, they do have a little bulletin board there. If you enlarge the picture on the website, you can see, like, they have a couple covers of the new DC 52, like, hanging up. But, I mean, they're still the size of regular comic books. It's nothing that you can see from outside the store in the food court.
Right.
It's nothing that would... you know, and I put up a for sale sign, like, you know, might see in like a Payless shoe store going out of business, you know, sale, 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 come in, great deals inside.
Right.
Whereas, you know, any comic book store could have had something like new, come see what all the fuss is about, featured on CNN and USA Today and, you know, relaunch of everything, brand new characters, you know, just something to grab the attention that, you know, maybe cost $10 at the local Kinko's to drum up something and a little bit of, you know, art design talent. So it's, I'm sure, as many artists and writers work in comic book stores, Raph, you know, I'm sure there's some talent, local talent, that they could have tapped to get onto this.
Well, yeah, well, Raph obviously is a little bit of an exception to any rule, because, I mean, he works at Midtown, so of course they got Jim Lee and Jeff Johns. That's not every right. single store is going to be able to get Jim Lee and Jeff Johns to celebrate the new DCU.
Right. But this is a store that puts out a newsletter every month that's well put together, well constructed, you know, graphically and designy or whatever you want to call it. So there is somebody that does these things. And they have 5 stores across Orlando. So they're not a small operation, you know. And I don't know the details if one guy owns all of them or if they're independently run or whatever. It's, you know, incongruous to this story. Is that, you know, basically my point was, in this high traffic area, there was nothing to let anybody know that there was anything of merit
going on.
Yeah. And that was disappointing to me, because you saw stuff all over the internet.
Right.
You saw stuff, you know, if you're paying attention in USA Today, you know, mm-hmm. I was in a meeting when they first announced the new D52 relaunch, and the guy next to me knew I was a comic book nut and pointed at it to me, saying, "Hey, you know, here's, did you see this?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely, it looks really cool."
Right.
And he said, "Yeah, I used to read Jim Lee comics, X-Men, back in the day. Interesting." And I was like, "Okay, cool. You know, that's something else I can talk to him about." You know, and in the article, there's a guy at my work who plays World of Warcraft. He's a big gamer. He has a 360 PS3. And he did the same thing a couple weeks later, came in and asked me about it. You know, "Hey, I've been reading on IGN. You know, it's a video game site that has a comics section. You know, I've been saw some stuff about, you know, the new relaunch. You know, what do you think about it? I've been thinking about getting back in. I used to read, you know, Spider-Man and Batman and Grifter back in the day.
Right.
You know, from Wildcats, I think." He was trying to act like he didn't know what he was talking about. But I was like, "Yeah, sure." So what I did for him is I sent him an email, since I'm in France when some of this stuff comes out, saying, "Here's when these books come out on these days. You know, here's some shops you can go to." And he just so happens to live by Coliseum of Comics.
Okay.
And funny thing, after I posted that article, I talked to him later that night, and he actually told me a really funny story.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much it's about, there's nothing outside that store to say, you know, that there's anything worthwhile going on.
Right.
And, you know, I may have gone a little bit too far by calling out another store, a comic shop, and saying they were pretty good, but they are a good shop. I've been to their store many times throughout the years. They're a little bit more out of the way than Coliseum of Comics is, so I don't go there as often as I go to them if I want something outside of DCBS.
Right.
You know? But so it's not a misinformed opinion, as the commenters would have you believe.
Well, okay. And plus, here's another question I have. Did Coliseum of Comics have a midnight event? Did they open up the store at midnight like a bunch of other comics shops were doing?
Not that I saw in any newsletter that they send out, which is the way that they usually communicate with their folks. And I'm a fan of that store's Facebook page and stuff, and they probably defanned me or whatever because I posted the link to their site. Who knows? But I just wanted people to read it.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah. And
maybe someone would see it and listen to the show, you know, and get more listeners for us, too. But not that we get paid by listener. But, if, you know, voices is always good.
It couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt. And obviously some people did find it because, you know, this is the most comments we've had on anything on the website in, you know, forever. But that's beside the point. Like, give you an example here. I mean, and I don't know if you happen to look into whether or not a comic shop had a midnight event or not.
They did.
Okay.
They did.
So they opened up their shop and they had a midnight event. Okay.
Here's what a comic shop does. If you look at Bleeding Cool, they have a YouTube video every week just highlighting the new comics of the week. Not really plugging their shop, but it's Aaron. It's always Aaron, the founder and owner of that shop.
Mm-hmm.
He's the white guy with blonde hair. And some other dude just highlighting the new stuff that's coming out this week and why they think it's cool. They have gotten so successful or kind of broadened their horizons other than bringing in creators. I mean, they bring in creators, a comic, Coliseum of Comics is bringing in a couple creators this month. I think more than just a couple. They're bringing in Perez and Perkins for the Titans Game hardcover, and they had Mike Diodato in a couple weeks ago, and you know, stuff that I always find out about last minute and I'm on travel and I can't go to. Mm-hmm. But so they're a decent store. They're both good, decent stores. But a comic shop is out there on the internet doing stuff. You know, they're only one shop, but they're out there like when the Superhuman Registration Act, and I call this out in the article, they had protests against it. And you saw it on the news, and you saw it on Newsarama.
Mm-hmm.
When Secret Invasion happened, they had an illegal alien protest on the side of the road, and they're located on a busy road in Orlando, you know, six lanes or whatever, protesting illegal aliens and Skrulls and stuff like that on the side of the road. And people were driving by just, you know, what is going on?
Right.
So they do things to get their name out there because they're a small shop.
Sure.
But they've actually, I think they bought the store next to them and opened up, I forget what it's called, but it's like a geek headquarters. You can go in, play video games, play board games, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It just, I haven't been to that facility. I think it's fairly new, but it's still something cool that they offer.
Right.
You know, and there's another store in Orlando that does that. So all of these are really good stores. We're really lucky to have them in Orlando. I will not go, you know, say that any of them are sucky.
Sure.
I will just say that I'm disappointed that there wasn't more out of my personal store that I go to more often. You know, I mean, just mm-hmm. as a fan.
Now,
you know?
Now here's a question that I'll also ask. I mean, do you think it's possible? And I mean, obviously, you know, you won't know this until you ask Coliseum of Comics themselves. But is it possible that they did not have a midnight opening because they're in a mall? Because, you know, malls obviously are not open until midnight.
It's certainly possible. And that wasn't something that I held against them,
mm-hmm.
to say that you don't have a midnight opening. I mean, I know right. that movie theater across from them has late showings at, mm-hmm. you know, I think, I don't know if their latest is like 10 or 10:30, but they certainly don't have 12:01 or 12:55 showings on a regular basis
right.
because they're in a mall and security and all
I
that stuff.
You.
So
yeah.
mm-hmm. if they don't have an event like that, I'm not going to hold it against them. It's probably, you know, it's because of their location.
You were just looking
no
more for the actual advertising
yeah.
than anything else. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know it's Wednesday at lunch on, you know, but there's still people in that mall.
Sure.
And there's still moms mm-hmm. and still kids walking around. School had just started, so there are probably still kids playing hooky. I still saw people in that mall
yeah.
that could have been lured inside. So back to my story of my guy I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I told him to go to that store even after I'd written the article, because you know what? He lives just a couple miles south of that store. I said,
so
that's the closest one to you.
Right.
Makes sense. Go there. Try him out. And he went inside, and I talked to him the next day or late that night. I can't forget. And he actually told me, he's like, he walked in and goes, am I in the right place? And the guy's like, what are you looking for? He's like, I'm looking for the new Justice League. And he was like, oh, yeah, we have some right over here. And it's off to the side. It's not in the center display. Mm-hmm. As you see in the picture, which is, you know, I thought was another mistake. Put it right in the front, you know, Justice League number one. Anyway, and he told me the store was pretty dead, and it was dead when I went in, and it was dead when he went in after work. So 5 or 6, right, in a mall. And he asked the guy if there had been a bunch of people, and the guy told him, yo, yeah, there's been a bunch of people coming in. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I missed that. Maybe he missed that. But he thought it was funny that there was nobody in the store, and this guy had said, yeah, you know, there's still plenty of copies on the books, and that he had to ask, you know, am I in the right place? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it is kind of his personality to kind of chuckle about stuff like that, or, you know, make comments, the funny comments, whatever. So take it as you will. Maybe he wasn't really wondering. I think he knew he was in the right place, but I think he was as confused as I was why there weren't more people in the store or why there wasn't anything outside.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No, I got you. Yeah.
Like if there had been a sign outside with advertising all this new stuff, maybe there's one this week. I don't know. I'm in France. Can't go look. But he would have known to go in. Yes, this is definitely the place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my whole point.
Yeah, because as a new, or at least a potential new customer, he wasn't even sure where to go.
But a new customer for them.
Right.
You know? And I was just going to say something.
Sorry.
But yeah, so there are a ton of – he's the target audience of new customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably repeating a lot of what's in the article, but whatever.
Yeah, but
because
still,
he's a gamer, he goes to all the superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's the exact kind of person that is an easy get for us.
Mm-hmm.
as comicdom and podcasters and pundits or whatever the fuck we are, or just fans in a community in general.
Yeah.
He's the target audience. You know, it's the people that are in GameStop.
Right.
That need to be buying comics, not little kids.
Sure. Yeah. And actually, I mean, I'll give you the example here. And I mean, I did bring it up in, you know, in an edit I made to your initial article that after heading to see Fright Night, Chris, my friend David, and I headed over to Jim Hanley's Universe because they were having a midnight sale at their location for actually at both their locations, because I have one Staten Island and one in Manhattan, for the Justice League number one and Flashpoint number five releases. And from 11:30 that night until 12:30 in the morning, everything in the store, literally everything in the store, was 40% off. It is the biggest sale they have ever done in the history of the store in the over 20 years that Jim Hanley's has been opened. Mm-hmm. And they did this because they wanted people in the shop, and they made an event out of it. You know, people were gathering; they were having actual conversations inside of the shop,
right.
And for literally more than an hour and a half, we were there just, you know, browsing, talking to people, having a good time. The staff are some of the nicest staff anywhere. Period. Like, I mean, when you come to New York, I'm taking you to Jim Hanley's because you got to have at least a 5-minute conversation with Larry because he's a laugh riot right. in and of himself. But
I want to go and I want to see Raph working because I don't believe it.
Well, Raph at Midtown Comics, you will see that he is
exactly
yeah, definitely working harder than most people. But that's because he's Raph and he goes a mile a minute. But both Jim Hanley's and Midtown Comics had the advantage of being in Manhattan and taking advantage of hopefully getting some extra foot traffic because of this event. But I was really happy that I went to Jim Hanley's, not necessarily just because of the stuff I bought, because yeah, I did buy a bunch of stuff for 40% off, but I also got to have an experience with fellow comic fans. That's what I love about these events, is that they bring people in. And I know for a fact that there were people in there that don't normally go into comic shops along the lines of what you were saying.
My whole point was that it was just a missed opportunity. They didn't have to have an event, but they could have done something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think all stores should be doing something throughout the month. You know, hell.
Right.
You know, you have 4 weeks to take advantage of this new number one until it becomes new number two, and then it's not as new.
Right.
You know what I mean?
New number two is shit.
But you have these – every store in America, whether they're good, bad, great, or whether they're a small shop or a chain or, you know, just some hole in the wall that sells comics that, you know, really no one wants to go into.
Mm-hmm.
They all have an opportunity because DC's put it on a plate for them.
Right.
Saying, here you are. Here's everything you've ever wanted retail-wise.
Right.
Not story-wise. That's a different thing. But retailing-wise, here's the biggest opportunity you've ever gotten as far as new readers, new sales, more readers, more sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in getting Marvel people that just buy exclusively Marvel, because we know there's some out there, to buy DC and just try something. Here's the biggest month you could ever have in your entire store,
right?
In your entire history,
mm-hmm.
and shops, at least the one that I saw in my limited, you know, city, aren't taking advantage of it. That was the whole point of the article, is that there should be stuff going on across the country from every type of store,
yeah.
Just to, you know, at least point out and say, we have brand new stuff. It
mm-hmm.
is on the news. It is being talked about out there. Come in and see why.
Yeah, and actually, something that Chris brought up that I'll pass along is that the smaller shops specifically should be the ones that are advertising this more than anybody,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you know, those are the ones that could pop up in the middle of a street that don't normally get the foot traffic that they would you know regularly get. But if you advertise, you know, new DCU here, then you might mm-hmm. very well get those people that wouldn't normally go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it wasn't about a sale. Like, and the owner of Coliseum Comics came out and posted, and thank you for reading our article, mm-hmm. Phil. You know, and he said, you know, that his whole point wasn't in trying to have a sale to draw people in. I'm not arguing that point.
Right.
You know, booyah to you because you don't feel you need to have a sale to draw in new customers. That's cool.
Right.
But I think there's a bigger reason why customers would want to come in other than a sale,
mm-hmm.
and that's because this stuff is on the news and being talked about in the public sphere,
yeah.
You know?
And I'll also mention that, you know, the two other comments that we got on your article were kind of typical internet comments, you know, like looking too far into what was said and, you know, putting you down for your opinion more than anything else. It's not the type of thing that I like to see on internet blogs, but they're going to be there. I'm glad that Phil at least was there to give his opinion, be very courteous about it, and say, you know, obviously this is not what you wanted, but it's working for us. But then to get the comments from Prime and Comic Guy basically putting you down for feeling the way you feel, it's like, dudes, seriously, it's called an opinion. You're allowed to have it. You know, there's an editorial and a title. Yeah, exactly. There's very little reason to go on and rip somebody apart just because you don't agree with them. You know, like go ahead and do something else with your life, please. Like, especially because one of them is called Comic Guy. I mean, for Christ's sake, I mean, he comes off like worst episode ever in the comment field. that's kind of all I can really say about that is that if you feel you got to take the time out to specifically say that somebody is wrong for having an opinion, then obviously I know how you like to spend your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, if people are listening and they go read the article, tell me what your shop did, and you know, because I want to hear what other shops are doing, mm-hmm. because that's not being covered on Newsarama yeah. or Comic Book Resources mm-hmm. yet. It's still 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock over right. in the States right now, mm-hmm. On the September 7th, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's still early.
Yep.
But tell me what your shops did to bring in new people. Tell me what your shops did to bring you into the new DCU and buy more books than you ever thought you would have when you walked in.
Yeah.
I want to hear that stuff. That was the whole point of the editorials, to get a discussion going
right.
about what shops are doing, what they aren't doing, mm-hmm. and how could they be better.
Well,
you know? So
well,
just trying to open a dialogue.
I'm gonna bring in for a little bit here Donovan Morgan Grant, one of our listeners who I put the call out on Facebook that if you want to join in for a little bit, by all means. And Donovan's available for a few minutes, so I'm going to see if he's actually had a similar experience at any of his comic shops. Hey, Donovan, you there?
Hello.
It's Ian and Brent. What's going on?
Hi. It's cool to finally talk to you guys. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Well, glad to have
Great.
You on,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, definitely. So did you, by any chance, go into a shop for a midnight event for Flashpoint or Justice League, or did you happen to pick it up from DCBS?
Here's the thing. I actually did order it from DCBS, mm-hmm. but I ordered it. I ordered like way too late because I just started a subscription service for the first time.
Gotcha.
So I didn't get the first issue. Mm-hmm. I actually got a digital copy of the first issue and read it that way.
Okay, cool. Flashpoint number 5. Did you pick that up or not?
It was just Justice League. Flashpoint. I've tried to got. I still have not gotten. But I've been pretty much told all of what happens. But Justice League, I got. Got like the full copy of that.
Okay, so, in fact, this is a little bit of a nice segue here. What experience did you get digitally out of it? I mean, did it flow nicely in digital format? Because both Brent and I picked it up, paper copy.
I did buy it digitally yesterday.
Oh, you did buy it digitally yesterday. Okay, cool.
I bought it 3 full times just so I could be fresh.
Christ's sake, man. You're loaded without even telling me, aren't you? I'll ask Donovan first though. How did it flow digitally? Did you feel like they were taking full advantage of the digital format for Justice League One?
I gotta say, I mean, I don't really feel too much of a change. I've been reading digitally for a while. I mean, I still mainly read it, you know, the traditional way, but it didn't really feel like it was worth like any sort of effort to make it a, I don't know. If I gotten it like the actual paper comic book, mm-hmm. I think that it would probably have been at least I would have felt that I would have felt the big transition that Justice League One represents more.
Okay.
Because right now it kind of felt very like sort of like a package, and I didn't come down positive on it, but I actually never really thought about it until just now, but I could have done without it.
So in other words, it was readable, but there wasn't really any like specific formatting that added to the digital release or anything like that.
No, there wasn't any like new things they did. There wasn't any surprises. It wasn't like, I mean, Kevin Conroy didn't pop out and start reading Batman's dialogue or anything. So.
Donovan, what device did you read it on?
Like, how do you mean exactly? Like, what device?
Are you reading it on Android tablet, iPad, on your phone, online, on the website?
Oh, I read it online, yeah.
Read it online. Okay. So it's via the Comixology app?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So that's an actual that's the actual desktop version of Comixology as opposed to the mobile.
Yeah, it's in the browser.
Gotcha. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Well, Brent, you got it mobile, I assume, right?
Yes, I used my Android phone, and I even got it over here in France.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we'll talk Flashpoint 5 second, because I think Justice League 1 is the more important issue here and has a little bit more to talk about with the Flashpoint 5 anyway. So Justice League number 1, beginning of a new universe. And actually, it's kind of okay to talk about Flashpoint 5 second, because Flashpoint has absolutely nothing to do with this except for, you know, one woman in the background that
Flash
I guess
what?
That
Flash what?
Yeah. What?
Flash what? What are you talking about?
It's called Flashpoint. Yeah.
This is a new number one. What are you talking about?
So anyway, I read it about 2 hours ago on the bus on the way back from picking up my DCBS order from my mom's.
Did the bus improve your experience?
I have to say, it was a fresh bus. The bus before it had broken down, and this was nice and clean. And I was listening to This Week in Tech at the time, so maybe that even helped it a little bit, hearing Leo Laporte's soothing voice as I read Batman's dialogue. I liked it more than I thought I was going to. However, it did, and I mentioned this on Twitter, and I'll mention it here, read a little bit like they were waiting for the trade. Like, it felt like we could have gotten more Justice League and less setup, if you know what I mean. Because, like, all we get is Batman, Green Lantern, one page of Superman at the end, and Cyborg before he's even Cyborg. So there's no Flash at all, there's no Aquaman, there's no Wonder Woman, and there's supposed to be, like, 10 other people in this frickin' league that I guess we're not going to get to until later on. But it felt like to me there was, like, there was so much more they could have done with this issue that they didn't. That's what it came off for me, initial impression. Brent, agree, disagree?
I agree, but I will say that I did like the issue, and I thought it was a good issue. There, you know, some good moments in there. What I tried to do with all the hype surrounding this and all the preview pages that were out there, I think the first, like, 5 pages were out. Mm-hmm. And that's a good, you know, fifth of the book for 20 pages or fourth, whatever. I looked at the art, but I didn't read the story on those, so I was a little bit, a little unspoiled, if you were to say that.
Okay.
About what was going on, but, you know, I got it on Wednesday, and I read it as a comic book, and it read fine then. I'm sure to read it fine again when I get my second copy from DCBS when I go home, and it read fine digitally for me on my Android phone. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm used to using that format. But what they do is, you know, with their panel view on their phones is they just kind of highlight the action that's going on in the panel, and, you know, anything that's really not necessary to the story, they won't show.
Right.
You know, like maybe they cut off an edge of a panel or so, what, big deal. You can zoom out on the full page view if you really want to see it. Mm-hmm. But unless something's going on, you're really not missing anything.
Okay.
But it read fine with me. I still laughed at the same moments. I still... you know, enjoyed Green Lantern and Batman interacting with each other, which I thought was a nice change of pace rather than, you know, having Batman and Superman go head-to-head first off and or be the buddy-buddies or whatever. It was a nice change to throw in Green Lantern and establish him as a heavy hitter in this new DC universe.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. Because they have been making it clear that they wanted the Green Lantern to have more of a, I guess, a staying power in the DCU. So I guess what better way to do it to have him be one of the first two people introduced? And your two best-selling titles right now are Green Lantern and Batman. So I guess that makes sense.
As of last month,
right,
we'll
until Justice League knocks it out of the water entirely. Well, Donovan, what's your general opinion about the issue?
A lot of mixed feelings, and really, I read it twice, and I tried to read it from two different perspectives because I felt that, like, that was what I had to do to get the full experience. I first read it, you know, how I've been reading comics for a long time, mm-hmm. Like over over a decade, like about 15 years. And I read it like how I usually read comics. And then I read it from the perspective that I would imagine a new reader who has never read a comic before has read it, because or would read it, because ideally that's what they're going for. So the initial response was, you know, it was real, honestly, like you said, they could have done so much more with it. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought like that's it. I mean, I understand. I thought it was a good move that they had Batman, Green Lantern, and Superman in there, because those are the most prolific DC characters, like as of this moment,
right,
in the mainstream media. So I thought that was good, and I thought the art was excellent. No complaints there. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. where the story goes, it did feel very decompressed. It felt very, very much like nothing's, like they say that they're not writing for the trade anymore, but you don't get a sense of that in this issue.
I agree. Yeah.
No, you really don't.
Yeah.
I do want to put out there that my buddy from work, Jim, the guy who, you know, I sent these emails to about the new comics, he's a lapsed reader. I did ask him how he liked it, and he said he loved it.
Okay.
Here's a guy who knows the comic universe a little bit, mm-hmm. You know, sees the movies, plays the video games. He loved it. So, I mean, there are some people out there that it is playing to, you know, what they were looking for. Just I think what it did for him, and I asked him, I said, you know, what did you like about it? And he said, I love the whole thing. You know, I can't wait to get the next issues, or can't wait, you know, to try the other first issues you recommended to me, you know. He's in, you know, he's in for the whole bag, pretty much.
Obviously, obviously you recommended to him OMAC, yeah, and Western Stories.
I did not. I recommended to him Batman with Greg Capullo, because he used to read Spawn. I recommended Justice League, obviously, because it's at the starting point in the first one. I recommended Superman. I don't think I don't remember if I recommended Action Comics. I recommended... and Grifter, I think, was the last major one that I can remember. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's in for all those. You know, so obviously it got him hooked just enough that he wants to continue going to the shop, maybe week to week, maybe every 2 weeks, but to get these first issues and, you know, probably the second and third and stuff like that.
Well, I will say I liked it better than I did in the previews. Because the first five pages that I read of this, I had no attachment to it whatsoever. Right. And when I read the title as a whole, you know, all 24 pages of it, or 22 or whatever number of pages it was, because it's a $3.99 book, so it was probably the full, 24 or 26 or whatever. It did read better as a whole, and even the art felt a little bit better as a whole there, because the first couple of pages I saw, I was not interested at all. It's one of the reasons that I didn't buy it at the shop and just waited for my DCBS orders, because I was not expecting to like it that much. But then when I read the issue as a whole, felt a little bit better for me. I mean, I'm wondering who Cyborg's dad is, like just how different his dad is in this universe, because I know that the dad played a little bit of a part in his initial creation, but they seem to be playing him up a lot more as, I guess, maybe even a General Lane type that is anti-superhero in this universe. And that'll be cool once we actually get to see him initially. The banter between Batman and Green Lantern was nice, and specifically the Jim Lee art. Like I said, I think when it came all together with the inking and the coloring... Mm-hmm. Probably some of the best Jim Lee art I've seen in a while, because I had soured on him for a while now. So,
oh really?
Yeah, I kind of like the '90s happened. Let's get it over with, you know. Like his style just seemed to have sort of like stagnated for me past like Batman Hush, and mind you, that was the last like major work he did other than the Superman stuff, but I was just kind of done with Jim Lee. I'd washed my hands with him, and this brings me back a little bit. It brings me back to him a little bit.
I will say, though, that I think there is a... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Donovan.
Well, in terms of his Batman work, because I love Batman. He's my favorite character. And I would say that if you would compare this between his Batman Hush work and his All-Star Batman and Robin stuff, mm-hmm. I think he tends to draw Batman differently if you want to compare between Hush and All-Star, because...
Oh, yeah.
With Hush, I mean, it was sort of like Jim Lee drawing Batman. With All-Star Batman and Robin, it seemed as though he physically, I don't know if it's because of the script or whatever, but he made Batman more of like a meathead. Like he had like an underbite and stuff. But it feels here that like I was pleasantly surprised to see that there's not any of that in this issue. He feels a lot more back to like a mainstream DC Universe type of Batman. And I liked seeing it here.
Yeah, I feel that a little bit with that as well. And I actually kind of like the streamlining that he did with the outfit. I mean, mind you, I liked the last outfit that he had, you know, with the return of the yellow circle and everything. But he sold me on the Tron lines a little bit with this. Not that it, I mean, I still kind of think they're kind of silly, but it does look a little bit better than I thought it was going to. What were you going to say originally, Brent?
I was going to say, were you guys like me and thought that thing they were chasing was, I think everybody on the internet thought this, it was Killer Croc, and you're like, what the fuck is Justice League doing with Killer Croc
in their first issue? Yeah.
I didn't know it was like an android, I thought it was like some sort of like alien or monster, but then it turned out to be some sort of like, I don't know, like some sort of like mecha or whatever.
It's a parademon.
Yeah,
it's a parademon, but it's a lot more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more armored than I'm used to seeing parademons.
It is, yeah. Well,
actually, it looks like more of a threat and a lot cooler than they used to be.
Well, actually, you know, I'll go ahead and say it. It looks like a Jim Lee villain. Okay, like it kind of looks a little bit like a Daemonite.
I'm not familiar, so sorry.
Well, with the armor, like I mean, really, like a bunch of things in this issue did. Feel a lot more 90s than I'm used to in my art, which another reason why, you know, like I'd sort of soured on him. But the armor in this is definitely Jim Lee armor. Let's put it that way. You know,
like, oh yeah,
it's totally harkening back to the old days of Wildstorm. So that's not that big of a shock there. What was a shock though was the mention of Darkseid, because. I mean, I guess it makes sense if they're rebooting the universe, then everything that happened in Final Crisis, thank God, is no longer in continuity. So I guess that means Darkseid is yet again on, you know, a part of the DC universe and not on all the way off on World 52 or whatever it was, or World 50. So I guess they can start using the New Gods again.
I forgot about that.
I like that. I like the Jim Lee art. I've always been a Jim Lee fan. He's the guy that kind of got me into comics with Hush and stuff like that. Really hardcore buying week to week, month to month, stuff like that. And we talked about that on the show before. But I thought, I mean, obviously the costumes are going to work because they're Jim Lee designed costumes and Jim Lee's drawing the book.
Well, Jim Lee did design that god awful Huntress outfit.
Yes, well, you know, hey, but I thought it was better than the last one she had. Who knows? But, I mean, I like the costumes. Green Lantern didn't really have a change. I noticed that his Green Lantern symbol is like a little bit, you know, it pops out now. It's not just, you know, some cloth, which I think, honestly, if you were going to build yourself a costume, I think that makes sense. You know, right. You're going to want to put that out there as much as you can. And I like the Batman costume. I think Jim Lee, it works with Jim Lee, but I think the rule is still out though to see how it looks with other artists. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll find out with Tony Daniels' Detective comes out this week and the subsequent Batman books. But mm-hmm. from the preview art that I've seen from like, I think I saw some Finch preview pages the other day, or Tony Daniels, it looks like it works with all of them. So, I mean, we'll find out. But I'm really digging the new looks. Superman, thank God he got rid of the red trunks. I'm sorry. Whatever, it's the 21st century, people get over it.
He wears underwear over his pants.
I miss the trunks. I miss both on Batman and Superman. I don't know if it's because I'm a traditionalist, but it looks like they forgot to put it on and they're missing something.
it looks like they finally put on pants rather than tights.
Well, it depends on how you draw the codpiece more than anything, I think. Because if you draw Batman and Superman like they have... like they have a man vagina, then it looks kind of weird. But
mangina.
Well, it's just I've seen some artists do that. Like they completely forget that they're men and they just draw them completely smooth down there, and it's weird. You know, like all right, I'm done. with Superman in this issue particularly, they sold me on the outfit, because the first couple of times I saw the outfit, I'm like, this looks weird. It looks unfinished. What the hell? But the first real shot that we see of him here looks much, 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 much better. Like it's, if more artists draw him like that, then I will be happy. So I'm in the same camp you are, Brent, that like it took this issue to sell me on the outfits.
Well, I think the mistake they made there was putting out that George Perez cover.
Yeah.
Because that George Perez cover of Superman #1, it looks really bulky and really awkward. Mm-hmm. and I don't think that's the way it's meant to be drawn, and or the way that, you know, Jesus Moreno is going to be drawing it in a Superman book. Or whatever,
well, hell, so. I'm just happy that the original red underwear is gone version that that Jim Lee drew in the sketchbook in the back didn't wind up the outfit, because ugh, Christ, man, that looks. That literally looks like, hello, remember Superman Blue? Like, let's put him in that outfit with a couple of red highlights and some yellow behind the Superman S, and don't color his head blue this time.
You know? It looks like they're trying to do like really Kryptonian, but that kind of clashes with the idea that in Action Comics he like has his own costume that he made up himself.
Right. Yeah. No. That's I totally agree with that, but. And the other thing in the sketches in the back also is how you see that Jim Lee originally drew Wonder Woman without pants.
And then, I was just about to ask that.
Yeah,
like is she wearing pants or not? I don't know.
What is wrong with the pants?
I like pants. Okay,
I like the pants.
Me too.
I like the Cliff Chang pants.
I enjoy the Cliff Chang pants as well. In fact, that's just what I'm going to call them from now on: the Cliff Chang pants. But it looks like Scott Williams drew the pants on, and then in the final cover, she's yet again pantsless.
Have you guys seen, there was a DC Nation, I think, like last month, where like Dan DiDio wrote something, but like the image was literally the two versions of the Wonder Woman cover, mm-hmm. and one had pants and one didn't have pants.
Uh-huh.
And like there was nothing that talked about it in the DC Nation, but I was like, is it really that big of a controversy?
Well, see, Themyscirans have to actually earn their pants. That's the storyline that they're going to go with. That she needs to, in order to get pants, she needs to prove herself in the man's world.
That's I'm what sorry, they if the, I was the in braces a, and bullets.
Yeah, exactly.
if I was in a horror comic book, I would want to wear pants. Just saying.
Yes. Especially if that's the direction that they are going with Wonder Woman, which is, seems to be kind of interesting. I don't know. I'll wait till Final Judgment, but yeah, he did say that that it was going to be more horror than anything else. Azzarello.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well. And you know, interesting that they say in the back that that Cyborg is a Titan to come. So I guess he was a Teen Titan.
Yeah, what?
I don't think so. I think they're just playing off of his past history.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure they said in at least one interview that Arsenal / Speedy was a Titan at one point.
Have you guys seen Dan DiDio answer some questions on Facebook? Mm-hmm. And I saw this yesterday. There's a lot of stuff that is being told. Like, apparently Oliver is the same age as Roy because they're both in their mid-20s.
What?
I can find this and put in the chat.
Well, that makes no sense.
I believe you. Here's my thing with this new relaunch, and I hope that many readers take this attitude, and I know that many won't. For me, nothing has happened until they say it has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just taking it. You know, I'm just thinking this whole thing as a cold reboot. Right now, for me, everything stopped, and Justice League number one is the only thing that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Until I read something and they say that it's happened, then I'm not going to recall that it's happened, or I'm not going to try to recall or try and, you know, make sense of things and stuff, because I think that's where they got messed up in the past, is, you know, changing stuff. And frankly, if DC wants to just say, you know what, most of that crap out there doesn't matter, then I'll be fine with that, because you know what? They explained in Flashpoint how it's a merging of universes, and obviously if you want to go back beyond the timeline or the merge, that stuff still happened and you still have your books, so you know, just read those, mm-hmm. as they've always said.
Well, let me also bring up, though, that what DC, and mind you, this is a huge change here, so I can understand why there have been some, you know, art incongruities and stuff like that, but I'll bring up Ollie Queen and the disappearing goatee as one example. How like each issue of Green Lantern, of Green Arrow that gets solicited seems to have a different look for Green Arrow. Talking about him specifically, like if I were DC, I really would have tried my best to get down the look of the characters before you start soliciting covers, specifically. Okay, because this is what people are going to be working off of when they order their books, is what the covers look like and what the cover blurbs say. They seem to be a little bit off on that so far. It's not making me very, very happy, or it's kind of making me itch a little bit, especially with the I think, what is it, three artists on three issues of Mr. Terrific so far?
Honestly, really? It's Mr. Terrific. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm picking that up. I'm interested, but I did not know that. Well, I was listening to your y'all's last episode, actually, and that was the first I heard of, like, the whole Rags Morales thing, and that pissed me off.
Yeah.
But then I heard it's like, he's not drawing an issue. He's like having assistance with an issue or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure, but it's like, damn, really? It's just, yeah.
Yeah, well, but they're getting one of the guys who works on Busey X Astro City to draw it. And that's going to be, I guess, that what's happening with that. But, I mean, look, as long as they get the issues out, I think that's more than, you know, more than anything at this point. You know, like make sure that they're not Marvel with this, that they worry more about getting the issues out as opposed to delays, then that'll be better than anything.
If that gets more artists a chance to shine, if that gets the next, you know, Jamal Igel fan favorite on a book or something like that, even for an issue or two, but gets him out there that people start asking about him and then he can get a different opportunity, then that is fine with me, because for me, I'm about story more than I am about art.
Right.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, if the art is horrible, then that's a little bit of a...
Well, yeah, if his cape's number one, I'm going to be really upset, but...
Land! Damn you, Gridland. All right, well, let's go back to the issue a little bit. Number one thing to point out here, I like how this mystery of who the woman is. I mean, mind you, anybody who hasn't read Flashpoint 5 is probably wondering what I'm talking about here. But there's a woman that shows up in that when Barry Allen is trying to write the timeline. There's this magical cloaked woman that shows up and tells him that the timelines are fractured and that they need to bring them back together, but it'll be at a cost. And then we get to where the new 52 is. And this woman does show up in the crowd scene for Cyborg's football game. And she will be showing up in all 52 issues of the new 52. So it's sort of like the Observer from Fringe, you know, like how they're showing up in every single book to try and, I guess, flesh out the mystery of who the hell this person is, which is pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've seen the page where, like, you have, like, I think it's like the Wildstorm universe and then, like, the recent DC universe and then, like, this new one, and then, like, they're converging.
The Vertigo universe also.
Oh, right, the Vertical universe. Mm-hmm. So I like that. It is cool that they're actually bringing attention that this has changed and just not shoving everything else that's happened under the rug, because as much as they say that they're not doing that, that's the cold and hard case of it. So, mm-hmm. but it is good that they're having some sort of, like, continuance.
Definitely. Yeah.
What did you? What is your guys' take on the new? I mean, to me, Batman feels the same.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, because they said that basically. That,
well, here than he has been in recent years.
Yeah,
he's kind of been that way with Grant Morrison ever since, you know, Grant started writing him. So that's not, you know, something totally different. Yeah. But what, like, Green Lantern to me feels the same. I mean, Hal's always been kind of cocky and stuff. And if you go back and reread Secret Origin, this is kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, he's different from the guy we've just read because that's 5 years later. But, mm-hmm. like, Superman for me, I think, is the most, at least that I've seen, is the one people are having the most discussion about.
Right.
About how he's now... punch first, ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, honestly, if my parents were dead, from as much as we know about them right now, because I haven't read Action Number One or Superman Number One, if I knew that, you know, this is what we know, his parents are dead. He
just like Batman.
I don't know if he's been Superboy.
Yes.
and he's kind of a brash young man.
He probably was not Superboy in this continuity. I would
probably
think.
Not.
Yeah,
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But like the whole attitude of ask first, questions later. Yeah, I would be the same way. If I'm in my late 20s, if I had powers, absolutely, I would make sure that no one fucks with me before I ask any questions. You know what I mean? honestly, if you had that power, I think that's what most people would do, and I think it's more relatable rather than the big blue Boy Scout that he has been the last 75 years.
Well, yeah, because times have changed. Times have changed, and the view of, you know, truth, justice, and the American way has changed as well. So it makes perfect sense, to me at least, to change Superman's personality so that he's more relatable to, well, not even just the Americans, but to everybody. You know, that he feels less like an outsider in even today's world, and more like an alien trying to blend, if you know what I mean.
I think the most people that are complaining about Superman, the change in his personality, are the people that have never read Superman. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, I mean, from what I've seen, especially from Action Comics, it is very golden age. I mean, if you read those golden age Superman stories, he was a dick. Like he was an unrepentant. Like he would beat up drunk drivers and everything. He would do what he felt he had. He'd do what he felt needed to be done to anyone he thought was unjust. So on one hand, it's like it's not unprecedented, but I think that people are concerned because even if it's more relatable that he's more of a proactive, less polite kind of character, I think people also want a Superman that they feel is very appealing, not just to their sensibilities, but to everyone's sensibilities, because, you know, he's like the man everybody is supposed to be, and because he's not coming off like that automatically, mm-hmm. people have some trepidation about it, which I can understand.
Right, and Lois Lane wants to date Jonathan Carroll from the Carroll Chronicles.
I just hope he doesn't record podcasts in his car and in the comic book.
I certainly hope so. Dude, seriously, I jumped out of my chair when I saw the name of Lois Lane's new boyfriend. I'm like, God damn it, Jonathan. Seriously.
You sneaky bastard.
I know. He's just sneaking his way into DC Comics. I'm sure Raph would prefer her boyfriend be named Raph Suhu, but... But no, I do definitely agree with the change in Superman. I mean, I'll have to read the comics first before I make a final decision, because, I mean, it looks like definitely the Grant Morrison stuff is going to be based in the past, and the George Perez stuff is going to be present. So, you know, we'll get definitely a full integration of Superman's past and present, hopefully within the first 12 issues of both book. Because, I mean, eventually, I would think Action Comics is going to be present.
Well, I heard that it's like it'll be like the first six issues are in the past, and then it'll like change between present and past.
Okay,
that's what I heard.
So it'll be lost.
I will say though, I do think that like this, all the images of like the new the Justice League in particular, and I'm not sure if this is just me or it's just like this is actually something, but it does kind of seem very cynical. I mean, when you think back to like Crisis on Infinite Earths, even like with the new changes and everything, and like, you know, like you had like Man of Steel and Dark Knight, or no, not Dark Knight, but Year One, and then Perez's Wonder Woman, I felt that there was still a sense of positivity with the new change, and with the Justice League, it's sort of like an undertone. I feel like Batman and Superman are kind of Batman and Green Lantern are kind of bitchy to each other, and every time you see the images of the Justice League, they're very solemn and very morose and kind of just staring at you, and I kind of feel that with Dan Didio and Geoff Johns have had a lot of they've made a lot of really dark stories, and I kind of don't want the new era of DC to be fixed in like just Silver Age grim and grittiness. So I'm wondering if that's just my own personal perception, or if that's like a recurring thing that's legitimately something that's popping up in this new era of the comic books.
I don't know, Brent.
I think Blue Beetle and Static Shock should be your cure for that feeling.
Yes.
Go pick up those books.
Yeah, even though Blue Beetle was starting from the beginning, and that kind of sucks, but okay.
Oh, yeah. And there's no Ted Cord anymore. Did y'all hear about that?
Wait, there was never a Ted Cord?
Ted Kord and Connor Hawke do not exist.
Awesome.
Wow.
Good fucking riddance.
Ted Kord never exists. 0 Hour never happened. Rene Montoya was never the question. I'm not making this up. This is what Dan DiDio said.
Yeah, it's just fuck him for the Connor Hawke statement, though, because I'm still pissed about that.
Listen, guys. They've only written four, maybe five issues of every book that's launching, mm-hmm. and maybe some other ones.
Yeah.
Dan DiDio may be proved wrong by a good story down the line.
I hope so.
So don't give up hope.
I know. Well, just like I'm not giving up hope on Wally.
But obviously, honestly, if they had to make Connor a bad guy or some deaf, blind, mute, or whatever the fuck he was in Judd Winnick's run to make him interesting, then he might not have been such a great
That didn't
character.
Make him interesting, dude. He was interesting to begin with. It was Judd Winnick that fucked with him. And they were like, okay, sure, we don't care.
I mean, I kind of see if you want to use that argument, that's kind of like saying, you know, to make Cassandra Cain interesting, you had to like destroy everything she was about and made her evil, but... a good writer can do anything that doesn't necessarily have to break them, but
yeah.
I mourn Connor Hawke as well, but you just hope that everything is going to be good.
Actually, my favorite is okay, so Bart's still around and he still has his original origin, I think, and Barry's not married, so Bart's even creepier.
He's a different grandfather. It's Superman.
Oh my god. Yeah. Well, I mean, and I'm kind of okay with Barry not being married to Iris. I'm kind of okay with that. Specifically,
I'm okay because
that.
He's been dead 25 years, and who the fuck remembers that?
Yeah, I know. And he's with Patty Spivot or whatever.
He's been dead as long as I've been alive.
Yes.
I really don't care what he does as long as he's interesting now.
Which is why I would have just...
I don't know if he's ever been interesting, I gotta say. I don't think he's ever been interesting.
I don't think he's ever been interesting either, and that's why I'm waiting for Wally to come back. Eventually he will, because, hey, Barry came
who's
back.
Wally? Who's Wally?
Wally West.
Who's that?
He's... I hate you.
Kid Flash, Barry's sidekick who became Flash. Don't you remember the 90s?
What?
And somewhere Mark Waid is crying.
Sure he's not. He's writing a great run on Daredevil now.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, he is.
One that I need to pick up and trade. So, all right, any final thoughts about Justice League number one in particular? Where do you think this is going? Do you think that this is going to be six issues of Darkseid here as the team gets together?
If anything, I kind of hope it's like the animated Justice League three-parter Secret Origins, where it brings the team together in a logical sense and just makes you excited to see more of them. But, it was kind of a disappointing issue, but I will say, though, like Brent, I had a friend who is getting into comics because of this New 52, and he enjoyed it.
Okay.
He enjoyed it a lot. So, I mean, if it does the job it's supposed to, getting new people to read comics, then it's automatically doing the best of it could do. So,
definitely.
I just hope it's better for us old readers, I suppose.
I hope so, because we're readers, but it's not important. It's not as important that the older readers like it as it is the newer readers. Because if you can get teenagers and older to like comic books again, to start picking up comic books on a regular basis, then that's great for the industry as a whole.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yep. Brent, final thoughts?
And we didn't talk about Geoff Johns that much, but I think I read online. I think it was on. I want to say it's Comics Alliance, and if I was wrong, please forgive me if you are listening. But someone did say that Geoff Johns has kind of a pattern where, you know, his first issues of stories typically aren't that great, mm-hmm. but he does a great build.
Yeah.
And if issue two is better than issue one and issue three is better than issue four, I mean, that's the whole thing of comics is for the next issue to be better than the last, so you keep looking forward to the one that you haven't read yet that's coming out next month. And that's how they gain new readers and create loyal fans like us. So if Geoff Johns is doing that, then more power to him. You know, he delivered a fun first issue that I think anybody can enjoy without having to get overwhelmed by too many characters or too much going on that it's just a little taste of the universe and it's got us fanboys talking because – you know, we're wondering, you know, what's changed and stuff, and it's got the new people wondering what comes next. So on that side, I think it was a success.
Well, I will point out two things about Geoff Johns is that, one, oh my God, Batman is awesome enough to take the ring off of Green Lantern's finger because he wasn't concentrating at the time. That's awesome. And number two, you can't fly, so how else are we going to get there? Talking a deep voice?
That's Geoff Johns for you.
Yeah.
You know what? If he wants to make Batman that awesome, then his favorite character, Green Lantern, more power to him.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, right there, two moments where both of them had excellent character moments that make me looking forward to where this is going to go.
Yes.
I will say that this is also going to be a litmus test for me in particular, these first 52 issues, because I'm going to be making a decision pretty much based on these first issues alone, which ones I continue to pick up. Because I've already made some choices as of issue 3 that I needed to cut a few here and there, but I will be cutting a lot more. If something doesn't catch my interest right away, it's in the pile, because still buying 52 issues or something, I mean, not that I am buying all 52, but say for if I'm buying 40 out of the 52, that's still a bunch of money to spend on comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I could definitely spend less.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, DC, take this as a hint.
Listen to me.
Right, good stuff. All right, so yeah, that's the whole of Justice League number one here. Any thoughts on where it's going to go?
Up and away.
I mean, do you think we'll get the whole team by issue two?
I'm thinking three.
No.
Three. Okay.
All right. I would say four at the latest, and if it's later than four, then I wouldn't like that. But yeah.
Yeah. Yes, especially because I must see Aquaman in his high collar soon.
Or you'll never see it again.
Yeah, and I need to see the issue where Wonder Woman's outfit gets torn, so she just decides to wear shorts.
The origin story, then.
The origin story of no pants.
She's got ripaway pants.
Ripaway pants. Christ, man. Yeah, well, high 70s, how are you? Considering that she did used to wear like a velour leisure suit, I guess.
Hey, it's better than those shorts that had zipper pants on them.
Anything
could be worse.
Anything is better than that, and it's better than jorts too. All right, so Donovan, we're gonna start talking Flashpoint here, man. So thanks for joining us. And you got any final thoughts you want to throw out there or anything? Or are you good?
No, I thank you for letting me on. I had fun, and I just hope that this whole relaunch is better than we can ever imagine, I suppose.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. For the state of comic books, I certainly hope so. And maybe Marvel will catch some hints if this winds up, as good as it's supposed to be. Maybe just creating year ones for everybody is not quite what you want to do, but All right, well, thanks for joining us, Donovan, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks very much, guys. Y'all have fun.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Peace out.
All right, so since we're going backwards, onward to Flashpoint number 5, or that's it, really? That's it.
Go
ahead.
The best part of the issue was when they were in the new universe, honestly.
All right. See, here's my problem. I liked Flashpoint. I really did. I liked Flashpoint for 4 issues. Then this half an issue comes out where everything needs to be resolved in half an issue so that they can start talking about the new universe, and not Marvel's new universe, DC's new universe. I get no resolution on anything, man. Everything feels rushed. It was...
I agree with you, but you know what? It is a Flash comic.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for
it's
that.
Rushed. You asked for it. I did ask for it.
Oh, and actually, before I continue on to Flashpoint 5, you know what the worst thing is about Flashpoint 5 and Justice League number 1?
What?
The Green Lantern Got Milk ads on the back.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, did they not sell any advertising for that month or something?
You know what? That's not in the digital version. Just
I'm glad. I'm really glad.
No ads in the digital version.
Green Lantern, June 2011. It says in blazing letters on the back. Like, yeah, we know.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Colbert made a good joke about the Green Lantern movie last night about how it's 12 bucks that he'll never get back.
Yeah.
So, all right. Was anything redeeming about this issue?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I was enjoying it. I enjoyed them finally killing off Eobard Thawne because I'd gotten really fucking tired of him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I did like the reveal about Flash, but
I'd like that too. That was different. But getting back to Professor Zoom. Mm-hmm. Jeff Johns really overused the shit out of him in the last 2 years. He was in Flash Rebirth. He was in Blackest Night Flash. Mm-hmm. He was in, the Flash series that only lasted 12 issues because of all this stuff. And then on top of all that, they painted him out to be the villain of Flashpoint.
Right.
And we were thinking about this the entire time. Like, where's Eobard? Where's Eobard? Where's Thawne,
Eobard or Eobard?
Who knows? It doesn't matter. He's dead. Hopefully never to return again, because that'd be really confusing.
Well, you know he's going to return again.
Well, hopefully they do it in an easier way to introduce him. Honestly, I don't want a time-traveling motherfucker from the future. Just give me a contemporary to Barry. That's messed up.
Dude, I liked the second Zoom a lot better.
I did too. Yeah. I liked him too. Because you don't have to think about his origin or why he's there. That made a lot more sense. So maybe he built up Eobard Thawne just to kill him. Who knows? We don't know his master plan. That was satisfying for me, the fact that Batman killed him. And the stuff with to me, they were really right when they advertised this as a Flash Batman story. Because it truly was.
Thomas Wayne Batman.
Right. But to me, that was the most satisfying part about this event, is seeing Thomas Wayne do something and maybe get to know him in a different way, because he is obviously a different character here in this universe. But to see him do something redeeming for his son, or do something for his son other than dying for him,
right.
And then the whole Batman stuff at the end in the new universe was just, you cannot beat that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I thought that was a great way to kick off the new universe in a book where, you couldn't do that in Batman or Justice League.
Well, people have been right commenting on this. It was the right place to do it. People have been commenting on this a lot, and I kind of agree with them with this issue, not with Justice League, that Jeff Johns at times is really good at doing specific moments in comic books and not necessarily an entire comic book. This is what Flashpoint 5 was for me. I liked the part with Barry and his mom. I liked the part with Barry and Batman. Didn't really like anything else. The whole story arc felt like it was sacrificed for individual moments in this issue. And you were leading this up, this was the new age of Apocalypse for me in a lot of ways until this point. And it fizzles, absolutely fizzles at the end, and made me kind of sad that I picked up four issues leading up to this. Like, I could have just picked up issue 5.
Yeah, you really can. I think the disappointing thing for me is that, no one knows until, unless you're behind closed doors, about the intercommunication. But, for me, the most interesting tie-ins were obviously the Batman one and Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Those were the ones that I looked forward to every DCBS shipment I got.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Aquaman and Wonder Woman ones had good first and second issues, but the third issues didn't resolve anything because they all pointed to Flashpoint 4 and 5, where those characters and their conflict, which was the driving conflict of the world, got sidelined for, other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, it was disappointing that they got sidelined.
Well,
I was surprised that Wonder Woman was going to kill, or that she killed, Captain Shazam?
Yes. Captain Thunder. Yeah.
Billy Bats.
Captain Thunder, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was very surprised about that as well. I shed a tear, and then I got over it.
The coolest Captain Shazam Thunder Marvel has ever been.
Yes, and I'm sure we're not going to get anything that cool in the new DCU.
Well, I'm sorry, Big Red Cheese and Big Blue Boy Scout are not relatable.
I know. Yeah. The only way that this is ever going to be, you know, better, in my opinion, is if the title that Jamal has been hinting about on Facebook turns out to be Captain Thunder.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that concept. I am, honestly. Yeah,
so am I.
Because it's Captain Planet, except for the cheesy Don Cheadle guy.
Mm-hmm. Don Cheadle. Shut the fuck up or I'll turn you into a cheery. So my favorite piece of art in this issue is the title page with the Flashpoint Part 5 of 5 with Barry and Zoom both like flailing in opposite directions and Barry screaming, yes! Because if you were to take both of them, like if you were to turn it sideways, it kind of looks like the two of them were at a rock concert. And, like, are really partying out with their arms up in the air, like, yeah, man, this is awesome.
I think there's a lot of great art in this issue.
Yeah.
Andy Kubert, God bless him, 5 issues out on time. For a DC event, that's a fucking miracle.
Good for you.
For a Kubert in the last recent years, It's just as equal a miracle.
Yeah.
So you got to give both Kubert and DC props for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you've been working on something for 2 years.
Hey, you know what? Good. If it takes Ethan Van Sciver that long to turn in 6 issues of a mini or an OGN or whatever, then fine, let him do that. Because if he gets you the quality work like Kubert turned in here, great.
Oh, yeah.
The same with their other top-tier artists, you know?
Yep.
If David Finch can't pull it out on Dark Knight, you know, let Jay Fabok fill in, because he's a good Finch clone, and let Finch, you know, do an OGN or something. Seriously, you know? If that's the kind of art that these guys want to turn out, and the best art that they can produce, and if they want to take their time, then they need to find avenues to do it rather than hold up a company's revenue or publishing schedule or fans' expectations. It's just not fair to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair to them either.
Right.
You know, that they do have such great detail-itis and drawing ability that they are constrained to a, you know, a monthly schedule.
But Civil War was worth the wait.
Yeah, sure, whatever. But I mean, we weren't thinking that then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But we are now, I think.
Are we?
I don't know. Am I the only one who wanted a giant achievement unlocked to show up when Thomas Wayne stabbed Hubert Thawne through the chest?
Some sort of Scott Pilgrim moment. He wanted a giant gold coin to drop out.
Yes. Thomas Wayne has earned the power of death.
Ching.
When you're in the middle of a war, don't stand still.
It was, you know, that honestly, that was like one of the best moments in that book.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So.
No, because it killed Hubert Thawne. And yet part of me also wanted some sort of, you know, White Lantern thing to show up. Because wasn't he supposed to have come back because of the White Lantern?
Who knows.
But I guess they stopped caring about the White Lantern.
Yes, I honestly stopped caring about the White Lantern once Brightest Day became about Flashpoint and not the White Lantern.
Hey, here's
Brightest Day became about Swamp Thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the Enchantress works for no one. My other comment about this is like, okay, so you're merging the quote unquote 3 timelines. Since when have there been 3 timelines? Because I don't remember there ever being 3 timelines. I remember there being, you know, another Earth for Wildstorm. And I remember there being Vertigo titles. And I remember Swamp Thing showing up in Brightest Day with John Constantine. And I remember Animal Man being everywhere before even Brightest Day.
Yeah.
What?
shh, calm down. It will be okay.
No, man.
You're getting what you want. You're getting Swamp Thing and Constantine, and Constantine still has his own dark adventures.
Actually, I don't give a shit about Swamp Thing, but okay.
Okay. You know what I mean? Who knows?
I don't know. It's just just this whole thing could be just thrown out, man. I'm like, I mean, I'm definitely giving away the extra issues of 4 and 5 I bought just to buy them. Because, yeah. I mean, I don't see a reason to keep more than one copy of these. And
no.
It's just so disappointing. That's all. At least we got to see Skinny Superman one more time.
Yep, and he came and disappeared. Yep. Just the way I wanted him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he just said, no more. And then Jeff Johns was like, what? Done. What? No more story? Okay. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everybody out there that this was kind of, I don't know if ham-fisted is the word for it, but it was an awkward ending.
What about turkey-fisted?
Turkey-fisted?
Yeah.
To build up this world for 4 issues and then to have it matter nothing, mm-hmm. except that Barry could have, he could have ran back in the, when did he get his powers back? Second issue,
uh-huh.
And finished it, yeah. Yes.
Especially since Barry was like, no, this is all Thawne's fault. And then Thawne was like, you're an idiot. This was you, because you really suck at changing the timeline.
It being Barry's fault was a cool twist.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't Thawne, mm-hmm. like we all thought it was.
Right.
Because that would have just been predictable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm kind of like, really? You didn't show him going back in time until the end of the issue to explain what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you didn't know how to end it until you got to this point.
It's like Jeff Johns was sitting down in his office typing away, and then like, Dan DiDio pops in and says, hey, you know what would be great? If it was all Barry's fault. And then Jeff's like, but I had this great start. Hey, yeah, make it Barry's fault. Okay.
And have him run back in time and forget all that crap that happened.
Yeah. Actually, it should have been Wally's fault. This whole thing should have been Wally West's fault, you know?
Wally was trying to stop Barry from coming back so people wouldn't forget about him.
Yes, exactly. It's like, damn it, I liked being Flash. I liked when people liked me. And people still do, because people hate Barry. So, yeah, you know, Barry has this wonderful moment with his mom, where his mom said, stop being a pussy and change things. And then he goes,
finally, someone told him to his face.
I know, right? I mean, hey, when it's your own mom that tells you, that's got to be something right there. Like, neither do I, but I'll be with your father.
You know what's also funny? That kind of points out that Jeff Johns knew that he was writing Barry as a pussy and a prick these last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you doing?
That kind of makes me unhappy.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me unhappy. Like, I don't know.
What? It makes you unhappy that he was writing a prick?
No, not unhappy. Yeah, unhappy and just... Not if he's going to be a prick, then make him an all-out prick, but don't make him an uninteresting, boring prick.
Well, it validates basically everything that I was saying. We were talking about Kid Flash Lost, you know, and Flash before that, that it felt like all this stuff got resolved about, you know, Barry, like, oh, okay, I'll stop being such a downer.
It did get resolved, but honestly, seriously... That's the conflict you needed to have with him. I mean, mm-hmm. the whole killing of his mom shit in Flashpoint or Flash Rebirth and stuff just felt weird to me mm-hmm. from the beginning.
Yeah.
And this is the end, and okay, I'm so glad he remembers his mom now so he can be a regular, happy fucking person. Thank God.
Yeah.
That was my reaction.
I want to know whether or not his mom exists in this new universe or not. I mean, obviously his mom exists because he exists, but you know what I mean, whether or not she's alive.
Yeah. Well, can we stop talking about his mom? I'm kind of just over the whole, you know, Eobard killed my mom, and therefore I'm an angry, grim and gritty character now, just like Batman.
Yeah.
Well, even though I wasn't that way ever before.
Okay, well, how about bringing this up? That it is sort of a little bit, I don't know if poignant is even the right way to put it, that Barry was there at Crisis on Infinite Earths. He died at Crisis on Infinite Earths, and that created the quote-unquote new continuity. And now...
Broke everything.
And now it's Barry that fixes the timelines, winds up alive, and is here for the new continuity.
Yes, sure.
So, you know, it does bring him full circle a little bit.
It does. But as an issue, it was great. Mm-hmm. But as an event on the whole, I think it was a bigger letdown than people are letting on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, I mean, you know, you read the last couple of issues leading up to it, and I didn't when I read the issue. I will give that out there. I read number 4 because it just arrived before mm-hmm. 5 came out. But I'm trying to think where I was going. But yeah, I think if you go reread 1 through 5, mm-hmm. I think the letdown on 5 is going to be a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Than just reading issue number 5.
I definitely agree.
Because by that time, you're involved in the world and the characters, and it's just like, oh, forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, like, I like how writing the timelines also seems to create a raised circle on your chest.
Hey, that's you know, he ran through Jim Lee's mind somewhere there, so that's how that happens.
It's like everybody gains a raised circle, except for Batman. He loses his.
It's okay.
And he gains Tron-wise.
Relax. Relax.
I'm just
We didn't see them out. Glow yet. We didn't see them glow. They only glow in that shoe ad.
All right.
Putting that out there.
Yeah.
To me, those things are like breaks in the armor for his pecs. Because mm-hmm. think about it. Flex what pecs you have, all you nerds out there. Me mm-hmm. too. And think about like when you move your shoulders in, like when you're bringing something together. Mm-hmm. If you have armor there, you need something to kind of break up that movement.
Yeah. That's true.
And if you look at like the musculature on a skeleton and stuff, there's kind of those same lines too. So. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I'm validating their existence.
Right.
If they don't exist and when someone draws them, I'm not going to have a fit. Unless someone, you know, decides to draw the gauntlets as regular Batman gauntlets with nothing else going on.
Hi, David Finch. How are you? David.
It's just so... It's funny. I'm really curious to see how the second or third issue of his book shows up and if the gauntlets are back to... you know, regular Neil Adams come.
Well, you make sure to tell me about that because I'm not picking them up.
Okay.
Oh, I really want someone to rewrite the Flash? Bruce. It is Bruce, isn't it? To say, how the fuck did you know that? I never told you. Or, it's not Bruce, it's Tammy.
Tammy.
I changed my name to Tammy.
Yeah,
I get my bat breasts in the mail tomorrow. Oh, man. Look, just overall, I mean, yeah, it ends with the lovely Batman crying thing that some people are pissed about because they never wanted to see Batman cry, but I'm okay with it because I have feelings.
And it takes a real man to cry.
Yes, it does. It takes a real man to cry, and it takes a real man to have Tron noise.
And it humanizes him, honestly, though.
It does, but some
people... It humanizes him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but some people don't want a human Batman.
That's okay. Matt can go read his No Man's Land over and over and over again. I'm much more happy with a humanized Batman.
Oh, boy. So
demon am I. Love God superstar like Grant Morrison wrote him.
Yeah, because, you know, you get a smile on Bruce's face. And thank you, Barry.
You can have fun.
Thank you, Barry. You're welcome, Bruce. So are you still here? Because you should go away now. Because I have to go cry a lot.
You're editing the episode. You can cut it out if you want, but I'm going to stay and listen.
My God. It was so beautiful. I'd give Flashpoint as a whole about a 3 out of 5. I'd give this issue about a 1.5 out of 5 just for the touching moments. And Justice League will get about a 4.
You didn't like Flashpoint number 5 that much.
I really didn't like it, dude.
I didn't get that sense from your commentary, though.
I don't know, man. It's just... Like I said, it was a letdown. I did say that.
For me, I agree with you. The series as a whole, a 3 out of 5. For me, this issue by itself, mm-hmm. like I'm sure there's some people that just picked up Flashpoint 5,
yeah.
probably a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll give it a 2. Maybe I'll give it a 3 out of 5. Like
well, I'm not saying point. You have to change your rating.
No.
That's not the feeling I got the last 30 minutes we were talking about.
All right. You're probably right. I'm probably being bitter about it because I just wanted better resolution for the Flashpoint universe. And, you know, there were touching moments in it, so all right, fine. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. I'm not going any higher than that, though.
I think you're just pissed because someone just told you that Connor Hawke doesn't matter.
That sucks, man. That really, really sucks. At least I still have Kyle, because somehow there were multiple Green Lanterns in, like, a 5-year period.
Yes. It's going to be a really interesting story, I can tell you that.
Which is like...
Yeah, but that's... See, this is the part I'm totally looking forward to, is explaining how there are 3 Robins in 5 years. Or
Tim Drake was Robin for exactly 3 days. You
know, how guy, you know, what's his face? Hal Jordan can be the greatest Green Lantern in 5 years and need 3 replacements. And, you know, it's going to be interesting how they resolve these things. Well, see, and that's part of what I'm looking forward to, as well as the new stuff.
See, his sector is really big.
Well,
really, really big.
And I think it'd be interesting to see Geoff Johns retcon Secret Origin to throw in 4 more Green Lanterns at the same Green Lantern crashing aliens at the same time. You get like Secret Origin 2, and it'll be Guy Gardner at the same time as Hal, and Secret Origin 3, and it'll be Jon Stewart, and Secret Origin 4 will be I don't know. We'll keep Kyle in there somehow.
Hey, if everything is still in continuity for the Green Lanterns, I can take solace in the fact that the Green Lantern Corps would not exist today without Kyle Rayner.
Just Green Lanterns had a really fucked up 5 years?
Yep. That's about it. Well, maybe they've been around longer than 5 years, because Hal seems to, you know, already have the ring when he meets Batman, so I don't
right.
know. Whatever, dude. I'm done trying to think about it. It's a new universe. Let's see how it goes, and we'll definitely discuss more of the 52 at the end of September. Possibly with Chad Burdett, because he's dying to talk about this stuff. So we'll see about that. That, and Chad is nice enough to be sponsoring the table at New York Comic Con. So major props to Chad for that, because, you know, since I am unemployed. But speaking of which, we'll be at New York Comic Con. I think you knew that already, people. But check it out, mycomiccon.com, for the full information. We'll be in Podcast Arena yet again, and I will be sharing a table with Mr. Pat Loika. And
How many friends he has, you're going to get a ton of interviews.
I cannot wait.
You should just sit there and camp out.
I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to get a Geoff Johns. I'm going to get a Jim Lee. I'm going to get a Brian Michael Bendis. I'm going to have an amazing weekend.
You are.
Yep. I'm sure I'm not going to get any of those guys, but it's still going to be a good weekend because I don't have to run to a wedding on a Sunday.
Woohoo.
Yep. So, Brent, anything else you'd like to say?
That is all. Wee wee.
Wee wee. He's been sipping on his wine all evening, so now he is retired.
You know what's funny?
What's up?
It's no wonder that no one talks about French food, because you can't get any in France.
Seriously?
Okay, so I'm in this kind of quaint little working class town.
Yeah.
It's pure European. There's little Western influence. There's a Subway and a McDonald's across the street.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, not a whole bunch.
Right.
But when you go in a restaurant or a store, you do hear some American music aside from the stuff that's in French.
Mm-hmm.
But what's weird is before I got over here, they told me, like, you know, they like to eat late and stuff like that. And I remember that from the last time I was in Europe on an EF tour trip. We ate late a lot. But we get off work at, like, you know, we get back to the hotel around 5:30. You take a nap or, you know, relax in your hotel, surf the net for a little bit, but for about an hour and a half, you go at about 6:30 mm-hmm. or, you know, or 7, because people eat late, so you're eating later, right?
Right.
And then you walk around town and only a quarter of the shops are open.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything either closed up at 5 when you came home or doesn't open till 7. And if it is open at 7, then it's probably just a bar. and nothing else.
That's weird, man.
So, and then all the stuff, like, I was in Paris for a day, stuck after I missed my flight.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's Paris, so they have a bunch of cafes and stuff where you can just go in and get a baguette and some ham and cheese and be happy and on your way and, you know, just something to grab a bite to eat.
Right.
Not so in this town. And that's kind of frustrating when, you know, you're out by yourself trying to find something and then you walk into a creperia and the guy starts speaking to you really fast in French, and you feel like an idiot pulling out your French at a glance guide and trying to order off of that or make sense of the menu, and you just say, I'm sorry, and walk out.
Food.
I did that.
Food.
And you end up at McDonald's on your first night in France.
Oh, don't. Second night in France. Well, did they at least have any exclusive French items in the McDonald's?
Your third night in France. No, it's just a much more limited menu.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Man, I would love for them to have, like, you know, escargot or Mc Escargot.
No, sorry.
Damn it. That sucks.
It was a cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger with bacon, a Big Mac, fish filet, chicken sandwich, and that's about it.
But they don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese.
No, they don't have it. It's a deluxe or something like that.
The Royale. Yeah. What's the matter? You never seen Pulp Fiction?
And it's not a Happy Value meal. It's the classic menu or something.
The classic. Oh.
I forget.
Well, at some point, try to get some French food. Okay.
I had it on the first and second nights I was here. It's like, you know, it's not very good.
You should also try and find a French comic shop.
You know what? Oh, I forgot about that. I was in a store a couple days ago, and in the airport I did see the Bede that Brian Deemer talks about, these really big, nicely hardbound books with beautiful art that I totally didn't buy because they're in French.
So nice.
They do exist. But yeah, really gorgeous art. Everything you hear about them is true. Secondly, we had to break today for some pilots or whatever, so we went to this great big, like, supermarket. It's like the only one in town. Like a Walmart. They're kind of Walmart, Target type thing.
Okay.
In the magazines, they had comics. But it wasn't like we get them single individual issues. It was four issues together that were square bound, like half of a trade paperback. A lot of them were Marvel. There was one DC. It was like the last four chapters of Blackest Night with Green Lantern, Blackest Night, Green Lantern, Blackest Night, Green Lantern, Green Lantern Core. And those are like 10 euro, or those are like 8 or 10 euro. So it's about, that one was like 16 bucks. And then the other three or four issue ones were like 4 euro. Four or five, so it's about, you know, under 10, you know, approaching 10 bucks depending on the exchange rate. So that was interesting, but a lot of them were, you know, kind of what we've talked about on the show or other podcasts talked about, is, you know, DC or Marvel just putting out a big anthology book of a line of titles or you know, all their books basically.
Okay.
So like there was an X-Men anthology and it had X-Men line and Wolverine or something. There's another one that had a bunch of X-Men Legacy in a row and some other thing in like Nation X, that miniseries and stuff. Yeah, I talked about the Blackest Night one. That's the only DC one they had. They had an Avengers one that had Secret Avengers, Thunderbolts, and New Avengers and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
cool.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that that you were able to see some of the European collections, because I've heard so much about them. Nice.
It's interesting.
Cool. Very cool. So I'm looking over this this link Donovan sent me, the interview with Danny Dio that he was bringing up earlier. So
do we want to read it in a voice? I'll be the fans, you be the Dio.
Okay, sure.
I'm just kidding.
All right, fine. Well,
if you want.
When told fans want Wally West back as Keystone City's Flash.
I think Keystone's back on Earth too.
There's only one city now. It's not the Twin Cities, I guess. Keystone City is on Earth 2, and I guess Central City.
He thinks. He could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I know. Here's a good one, though. Renee Montoya is not the question. She'll be a member of the Gotham City Police Force.
Okay.
So that's rewritten. Meaning, I guess Vic Sage is still walking around.
Look, here's the idea. You know, DC's revitalizing their characters and their properties for merchandising, films, television, and new consumers everywhere. Yep. So you're going to go with the most recognizable version of the character, Renee Montoya. What do you think of Renee Montoya when you think of her?
I think of The Question, but no one else does.
Okay. No, I think of animated series because that's where I first met her. Yeah. Boom. That's her role, Gotham Police Force.
Right.
Okay. For today's public, when you think Blue Beetle, What do you think?
Oh, I definitely think of Jaime. Yeah, no, no, and I'm perfectly okay with Ted Kord not never being around. That's fine by me. It just it ruins the Ted Booster dynamic, obviously.
It does, but maybe we'll get something with Blue Beetle. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Green Arrow. What do you think when you think of Green Arrow in the last 10 years?
Connor Hawk.
Smallville.
Connor Hawk.
No beard.
Connor Hawk.
Smallville, no beard. Smallville, no beard. Smallville, no beard. A cool kid. A cool character. Uh-huh. A funny character. That's what I think of.
Yeah.
Honestly. So, you know, I understand where they're coming from and why they're making these decisions. And you know what? For them, it's business.
Right.
It totally is.
What you mean the regular public doesn't think of a dude screaming, "Justice!"
No, they don't.
No, well, good.
They think of the hot blonde guy that Amanda only watched Smallville for him the last two seasons, or three or four seasons it was on, just for that guy.
Mm.
Not because of Clark Kent, because it was interesting, because of that guy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God. On how Death of Superman fits in continuity now, we're keeping the spirit of the story in place. Superman died and got better, but the events and people around it have changed, including the fact that the reign of Superman did not replace him in death, but were inspired by it.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
It hasn't happened until they talk about it. Mm-hmm. And to me, I don't even count this stuff.
Right.
Because to me, it's like, this is his idea, his vision for it, but he's not writing 52 books.
Oh, yeah,
and
no,
he's
I know.
He's no longer the force behind the editorial board. He's a co-publisher. Mm-hmm. And yeah, him and Geoff Johns and Jim Lee have final say, but he's not the guy organizing all the editors and stuff. You know, Bob Harris is, even though, you know, he's not really taking the public role like DiDio did.
I actually kind of forget that all the time.
You know, I do too. But to me, that's the thing with me is, like, you know, just because Dan DiDio says it doesn't make it true.
Yep.
Okay. At the end of the day.
Okay.
It's not true until it gets printed.
All right.
So relax.
I'm relaxed. I'm perfectly
Don't
relaxed.
Pull out your Green Arrow, Greg Rucka, and read it.
Yeah. I just want to know the truth.
And then
you
pull out your Judd Winnick Green Arrow issues and read them in effigy and remind yourself how this character didn't stick around, so they had to do something drastic to him.
I like Connor Hawk.
And that ultimately, in the end, the last time we seen or heard from him, he was a deaf, dumb, mute, manipulated by Dr. Psycho or
something. No, he was around after that, actually.
He might as well have been Matt Damon in Team America.
Matt Damon. Connor
Yes.
Yeah, what a great way to treat a character, by taking away his ability to throw an arrow. All right. So, I guess we're done. After all, it's like, what time is it? You're in your neck of the woods now, anyway.
11:40.
No, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. For a recording that we've done, that's not too bad.
No, we started close to 10.
Yep.
Over here.
All right, so I guess we're done. So, like I said, stay tuned. Stay tuned for the conclusion of the DC 52 at the end of the month or the beginning of October, one or the other. Once again, we're sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out at dcbservice.com. And a reminder to buy your Comixology books from the button on DCBS's site, and you'll get 5% off of your next DCBS order. This might not be in effect yet, but it will be in effect soon, so stay tuned on that.
No, on the emails he sent out, it said it will be
backdated to August.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They're backdating it some.
So. Awesome. That
works.
That's
good. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And a reminder that Digital Comics has all the Shadowline books from Image now in PDF and CBZ. So check out Morning Glories, Bomb Queen 27, Green Wake, and a whole ton of other books, all at My Digital Comics. So that is great for people who like to read comics on the go, on their devices. That is cool. MyDigitalComics.com and Comixology, two ways to read your comics on the go. DCBService.com. All right, Brent, go get some sleep and wake up and drink your wine in the morning. That's what they do for breakfast over there.
No, they don't, but I will.
Okay. They have very, very buttery omelets.
Am I wrong?
My hotel doesn't serve omelets.
Your hotel doesn't serve omelets?
It's a small little hotel.
All right,
I'm lucky I get breakfast.
That's
honestly.
Fine. That's fine. All right. Well, the email address is comictiming@gmail.com. Check us out over comictiming.net, possibly for more editorials from Brent or myself that will probably have as wonderful reactions as this last one did. You can check us out on Facebook, of course, at facebook.com/comictiming. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously appreciated. And we're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. So for Mr. Cassina, and big props to Donovan for stopping on the show earlier for the Justice League segment, I'm Ian Levesey, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics, even when they're new DCU.
Bonjour!
Oui, 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 Mr. Frenchman. What's up?
What's up?
Not much, not much. You're on your laptop, Mike?
Yes, sorry.
It's okay. Alright. Well,
you will have to hear the fan.
No, the fan. Not that big a deal, as long as you're not drinking wine and eating bread at the time, then we should.
No, I shall not. I do have a chocolate bar that I might indulge in, and let me hit the coffee pot before we start. Other than that, something good.
Yeah, you are quite possibly the worst at a French accent I have ever heard.
Well, I've only been here for 3 days, and I don't know a lick of French other than thank you and hello.
Oh.
And I don't speak French or do you speak English. That's about it.
Oh, and omelette au fromage is cheese omelette.
Yeah, so I just got my luggage today, even though I left Friday and arrived Saturday.
What the fuck happened?
They fucking lost it.
Assholes.
So, because they lost my luggage, I'm in Lorient, which is in the northwest region of France, mm-hmm. A little bit south of Brittany, about an hour south of Brest. You know where that is?
I have no idea, but please continue.
Yeah, it's right on the tip of France.
Okay.
Kind of just...
We'll see, that makes more sense.
It's on the southern part of that. So I got off the plane at Charles de Gaulle.
Yeah.
And I have to get on another plane to get over here to Lorient. But that's not in Charles de Gaulle Airport. That's in another airport called Orly.
Okay.
Which is in the south.
Right.
So it's like you hop on a plane from New York over in Newark or something, Jersey City.
I gotcha. Yeah.
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 So I have to catch a bus and stuff like that. So my luggage doesn't show up. So then I have to wait in line with about 7 other people on the same plane whose luggage didn't show up. So I think they missed, like, the whole cart. And then, honestly.
Yeah.
So that takes a while. And then I have to fill out a form and put down my hotel's information and shit like that. And then I go over and I try to meet my coworker. And I can't find him or he can't find me, whatever. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just see him on the next plane. So I get on the bus... to the next airport, pay my fee, which is expensive, it's like $30 or €20. And then when that happens, the bus tries to pull out and then it's blocking. It can't pull out because there's some car that's parked too far back.
Oh, lovely.
So the bus can't do its wide turn, so it's blocking two lanes of traffic in this Charles de Gaulle exit terminal for about 45 minutes. So I get to the airport with about 10 minutes to spare before my flight takes off. And I get to the check-in counter, and the guy's like, well, you won't make your flight because you have to take a bus down to the airplane from this gate.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, all right. So whatever. You know, day's already gone to shit anyway. You know, can't find my traveling partner, and it's in my fucking baggage. So I was like, all right, well, what can I do? He's like, well, I can fly you at 4 p.m. today to Brest, and then you can rent a car and then drive down to Lorient. And I was like, probably not the best idea, considering I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
Right.
And I was like, there's the same flight the next day. I was like, just do that. I'll just get a hotel here by the airport. And I took a train into Paris and saw, it's all on Facebook, so I saw Notre Dame, Eiffel Tower, and the Louvre just the inside. So, just a little walking around.
Well, that works out in the end.
That was good. Yeah. But yeah, my bag had dried today. 5 days left. Well, so I've been washing the same shirt, underwear, and socks every night. Well, no, I had an extra pair, so that was good. So, yeah, basically I've been doing laundry.
Yes, you see, at least when my luggage got lost, I was going home.
Yeah, see, that's the convenient time for it to happen.
Yeah, right. And we've come up...